from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia. Online at wvhtf.org.
At the legislature today, WVU Tech has been given the legislative go-ahead to move its campus out of Kanawha County after a vote in the Senate. In the House, a public hearing focuses on a bill that would allow alcohol sales on Sunday mornings. And the debate over Common Core continues at the State House as lawmakers once again look from a repeal to a review and study process. Those stories and more coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. Members of the House Finance Committee are debating a bill that would increase division of motor vehicle fees and some taxes to help fund road maintenance and construction projects. The measure was already approved in the Senate, but is causing conflict in the House. Liz McCormick joins us with more.
Ashton, the House Finance Committee began debating Senate Bill 555 this afternoon. But after an hour of discussion, Chairman Eric Nelson moved to lay the bill over until tomorrow morning. As approved in the Senate, the bill adds a trigger to increase the state's gasoline tax by 3 cents when the wholesale price of a gallon drops below $2, but also generates dollars for the state road fund through increased taxes and fees. A House Finance Subcommittee of 7 members discussed the bill on Friday and suggested the committee as a whole move forward with caution because of the included increases. Chairman Nelson also echoed those concerns. There are 2 pending amendments in the bill that were suggested by the subcommittee. Those amendments are expected to be discussed further when the committee meets again in the morning. For the legislature today, I'm Liz McCormick.
Senators voted today to allow the West Virginia University Institute of Technology to move its headquarters from Montgomery to Beckley and the former campus of Mountain State University. Those who support the measure say WVU Tech is struggling to maintain its dilapidated campus and will be able to attract more students at the new location. But those against say WVU is making the decision to move a 120-year-old institution without considering the impacts on the small, economically depressed region supporting it. Here is a look at some of the debate today.
Today, the once great county of Fayette is on her knees. Our public school system is falling apart to the point where we can no longer properly educate our children. Our coal severance tax revenues are spiraling down, and there is an outward migration from our communities that I have not seen during my lifetime. And now, with this legislation, we will be closing a campus located on 114 acres in a struggling community of 1,700 people, leaving vacant 668,000 square feet of building space left to wither away on a hillside overlooking a town. In taking this action, it is important for this body to recognize and understand that in providing for the closure of this campus, we will be doing so without the benefit of an economic impact study intended to assess the consequences of our actions on the regional economy of the Upper Kanawha Valley. In providing for the closure of an institution of this size, we need to be sensitive to the collateral consequences of our decision and the ripple effect that it could have on such major employers as Montgomery General Hospital and other businesses located in the Upper Kanawha Valley.
It's a bill that should make all of us very sad for the history of a fine school, It's a bill that should make all of us very sad for the history of a town. It should make all of us very sad for a region of this state. The outcome of this legislation, if it passes, is in some ways the story of what's taking place in all of southern West Virginia. By passing this bill, we are saying that we have forgotten the roles played by regions, particularly in the South, to create what was once a great economic engine for the state of West Virginia. Passage of this bill is powerfully saying that the contributions of those folks of yesterday mean nothing to us today. It becomes a story of not what have you done for us historically, but what are you doing for us now?
The city of Beckley welcomes with open arms West Virginia Tech and West Virginia University. For many years, individuals in my service area have supported community and technical colleges such as New River, higher education institutions such as Concord University, as well as my alma mater, Bluefield State College. There is room in Beckley for all these institutions to collaborate and find ways to improve the lives of our citizens. The goal of this new endeavor by West Virginia University is to give more citizens a chance to improve their skills and knowledge and find work in West Virginia.
Mr. President, I'll tell you that I went back and looked through the historical data over the last several years. It hurts. It hurts me to know what my legislature has done to my college, to my West Virginia Tech, especially over the last 7 years. We've not increased any funding to West Virginia Tech, though West Virginia Tech's study work back in 2007 and again some additional work in 2011 said you got to put some money into us to allow us to survive, to allow us to, more importantly, rather than just surviving, to thrive. We didn't do it, but I do believe we need to preserve the institution of West Virginia University Institute of Technology. From what I've seen thus to date, if we don't pass this legislation right here, right now, by pushing the green button, in about a year from now, maybe two, we're going to be passing legislation that completely obliterates. Why? Because they can't survive.
Senators voted 22-12 in favor of moving WVU Tech to Beckley. There's a lawsuit currently pending in Kanawha County Circuit Court to stop the move, but some senators say that suit will be preempted by the legislative decision. At a public hearing in the House this morning, speakers unanimously favored a bill to allow alcohol sales on Sunday mornings. But the hearing might not fully represent the feelings of West Virginians. Rob Engel joins us with more.
Ashton, a poll released last month of likely West Virginia voters found only 38% of them supported moving alcohol sales from 1 p.m. on Sundays to 10 a.m. But that wasn't the story this morning at this morning's public hearing in the House. The brunch bill, as it's been referred to for years, was called an economic development measure, a bill that would support small businesses across the state while bringing in more tax revenues. Here's what a few of the 10 speakers shared with lawmakers this morning.
I'm involved in Adventures on the Gorge. It's a whitewater rafting company. Very often on a Sunday, there are groups of people from surrounding states. They've gone on a canopy tour. It's over at about 11:30. They go to Chetty's restaurant. They have a hamburger. They see ads for various crafts beer. They want to have a crafts beer with their hamburger, and they're told they can't. It just destroys the image of West Virginia. It gets them joking and saying what's wrong with this state.
My guests have to check out by 11 o'clock. They are not going to delay going home for 3 hours to be able to stop and buy a bottle of wine or a little bit of moonshine. I can't tell my guests that are going back to Pennsylvania, Maryland, and the DC area, by the way, you're going right past Heston Farms Winery and Pinchgut Hollow Distillery. You might want to stop and sample what they have and take some home. I can't tell those that are heading south. You're going right by Lambert's Winery in Weston. You might want to stop and see what they have and take some home. We're losing out.
Just yesterday, I was working brunch in our dining room and had to tell multiple guests no to beverage requests, and the response was, wow, really? These laws still exist?
We do about 60 weddings a year at our hotel, and many of those involve people from out of the state coming in to coordinate weddings. And an important question they often ask is, can we arrange for a brunch on a Sunday before our guests check out? And the answer, obviously, at this time is no. We are not able to serve alcohol before 1 o'clock. If you take what the Embassy Suites can do, and I know that we'll generate a significant amount of revenue, I know that we'll need to put on an extra person or two. I know that if we have a 100-person brunch on a Sunday morning, that we're going to need two or three extra employees plus a bartender. I know that that is replicated throughout all of the hotels and conference centers that are surrounding this state. This hotel, you know, my hotel may be small fry compared to the Greenbrier. The money that those guys are leaving on the table right now is astronomical.
The House Judiciary Committee was scheduled to take up the brunch bill during an afternoon meeting, even though House Speaker Tim Armstead had previously said the bill was not a priority this session. The committee, however, didn't get to the bill this afternoon and will continue discussions tonight. The bill was approved unanimously in the Senate. For the Legislature Today, I'm Rob Engel.
Members of a Senate committee have begun discussing a bill to repeal Common Core education standards and aligned assessments in the state. Although the State Board of Education has already adopted new standards, the bill is still sparking heated discussions between lawmakers and education officials.
The House of Delegates approved House Bill 4014 after several amendments were made on the chamber floor. The bill repeals the state's Common Core-based education standards and any aligned standardized tests. As amended on the floor, it also repeals the science standards set to take effect in July of this year, sets up a review board of outside experts who will recommend changes to the standards by October, and also includes provisions protecting students who opt out or refuse to take a statewide test from being penalized for doing so. But some members of the Senate's Education Committee were concerned that the bill itself was confusing because the State Board of Education voted to repeal Common Core in December and replace it with the West Virginia College and Career Ready standards. Senator Bob Plymouth questioned Beverly Kingery, a member of the West Virginia Board of Education. Plymouth believes the standards are not the problem in West Virginia, but the curriculum. The way those standards are being delivered in the classroom is what's giving parents and teachers problems.
I hear everybody in this body, let's push it down to local. We have done that, and the curriculum side of that is decided on a local level. So the criticisms we've been hearing about what's happening in that end of it is a local decision, correct?
Yes, it is. How you teach the standards is a local curriculum decision. The State Department nor the State Board of Education goes in and inserts any type of authority telling a teacher who's the expert in that classroom how to teach that content.
Kingery told the committee even as standards are adapted over time, most are 75 to 80% the same as those previously in place. That's what she says has happened in the state switch from Common Core to the new College and Career Ready standards. Senator Robert Carnes disagreed.
I've got a copy here of the side-by-side comparison, and in most of the cases, the wording of standards is precisely the same, or perhaps a comma is moved or a word is moved. They look 98% the same.
Senators had two amendments to consider during their morning meeting. The first, presented by Senator Plymouth, would extensively change the House bill. It first recognizes that Common Core has already been repealed in West Virginia and allows the current assessment and standards to stay in place, including the science standards the House is attempting to block. Those would then be reviewed by a commission that includes West Virginia teachers and professors, headed by the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission in 2018. Plymouth's amendment also requires a review of those standards and assessments every 5 years after. Senator Mike Romano spoke in favor of the amendment.
The reality of it is this is a political football that we've kicked around now for 2 years, and we're playing with the education of our children. Sure, our education system as of late hasn't been the most successful by measurements that we've employed, but the reality is this is the first time we've tried to compare ourselves on an apples-to-apples basis with the rest of the country. Now, 80% of our standards have been in place for more than two decades here. Nobody ever complained about them until they became the Common Core standards. And since then, we have now revised them, you know, twice within the last 5 years since implementation, really less, 3 years.
Senator Charles Trump, however, pointed out to the committee that the proposed amendments had been taken out of order. Senate Education Chair Senator Dave Seipult also offered an amendment to make some changes to the House bill. But Plimal's amendment would have caused conflicts in code if voted on before Seipult's change. Members of the committee took a short break and then abruptly ended the meeting before voting on either amendment.
Senators are scheduled to continue discussing the bill to repeal Common Core and the proposed amendments this evening. That conversation could continue into tomorrow morning. Now we go to the Eastern Panhandle to meet three members of the West Virginia Legislature.
Herb Snyder is a Democrat from Jefferson County. He represents the state's 16th senatorial district. Senator Snyder was first elected to the West Virginia Senate in 1996, serving through 2000. He returned to the chamber in 2008. Gary Howell was elected to the House of Delegates in 2010. A Republican, he's from Mineral County. Delegate Howell represents the state's 56th House of Delegates district. He serves as the chair of the House Government Organization Committee. Ruth Rowan represents the state's 57th House of Delegates district from Hampshire County. A Republican, she was elected to the House of Delegates in 2004. Delegate Rowan serves as the chair of the House Committee on Senior Issues.
Today, the West Virginia Turnpike's Memorial Tunnel appears to go nowhere, but it's actually taking West Virginians in a direction few would have imagined when it first led drivers across the Stanley Bender Bridge, dedicated to one of the state's World War II Medal of Honor recipients. As Rob Engel reports, the tunnel is now being used to train a new generation of heroes.
We got a faint pulse, very faint pulse.
In January, the West Virginia Army National Guard conducted intensive training required annually for the recertification of Army medics. Major John Snediger is a registered nurse and medical officer with the West Virginia National Guard.
We try to stimulate all their senses. They are challenged mentally and physically, as you saw today. We try to provide as realistic training as possible because I think that makes them better prepared to deal with a real-world emergency.
Sergeant Laura Haas is an emergency medical technician in Morgantown.
You learn how to work with a different team. You learn the different dynamics of different teams, the levels of experience, and you always learn something. You always learn something from the lowest, least experienced to the most experienced. There's always something that's learned.
Come on, let's go!
Are you gonna walk backwards this whole way?
Medics serving in the West Virginia National Guard range from EMTs and paramedics to mechanics, cooks, and custodians. Sergeant James Eldridge works for the United Postal Service.
In these kind of situations, you just kind of got to roll with the punches, so to speak. I mean, you see something, you act, and you take out the threats, you handle the emergencies, and do what you got to do.
The exercise took place at the Center for National Readiness Memorial Tunnel along the West Virginia Turnpike, about halfway between Charleston and Beckley. Construction of the two-lane passageway, nearly 3,000 feet long, began in 1952. The nation's first motor vehicle tunnel equipped with closed-circuit TV cameras officially opened in 1954 and closed when the tunnel was bypassed in 1987. In the 1990s, the underground structure facilitated experiments leading to the use of jet fans in the construction of tunnels and improved ventilation systems now employed in such passageways. Amid the increasing threat of terrorist attacks on American soil, the Center for National Response initiated anti-terrorism training in the Memorial Tunnel.
Any other measures you could do? Any other measures?
Now under the supervision of the West Virginia National Guard, the site is used for crisis situation and disaster response training, provided in a safe and controllable environment.
Don't get separated. We get a lot of positive feedback from the soldiers themselves, and each year we try to up our game. We put a lot of time and effort to make our training as realistic as possible, so that when they do come on a situation, they're not shocked, they're not surprised by blood, they're not shocked or surprised by a pretty invasive wound, that they've seen something very similar to that, and then they can react naturally in their order of treatment for the casualty.
Personnel from the U.S. Coast Guard, as well as military search and rescue units from Washington, D.C., New York, and elsewhere, have trained here.
When you have something like this that's as visible as it is, positive as it is, they're very interested in and try to recreate that for their own people.
Such first responders as local fire and rescue departments and law enforcement, as well as state and federal agencies, use the enclosed underground structure and 10,000 acres of land surrounding it in simulating a variety of worst-case scenarios, ranging from accidents and attacks to natural disasters. Since the Center for National Response repurposed the tunnel, a 50-car pileup, a bombing in a metropolitan area subway, a building collapse, and even an incident involving a poisonous snake in a meth lab have been staged here.
I was impressed. The different scenarios, the different challenges. You really had to critical think, okay, what am I going to do in this situation? How am I going to react? What do I have time to do?
What we got?
And when do I need to be out of here? And make sure everybody's safe along the way and make sure that everybody's together.
Adjutant General James Hoyer says this training helps young medics to overcome anxiety related to what they might face in the field.
If you look at it from strict sense of training military personnel, the best training that we can provide to our soldiers, airmen, sailors, and Marines gives them the best opportunity to go home safely to their families as a result of their missions.
Hoyer says that through programs like the center, the West Virginia National Guard is able to provide a huge return on investment for the state's funding they receive. Lawmakers appropriate an estimated $14.3 million annually to the Guard, which employs 6,400 West Virginians.
There are gaps and needs in military training that are out there. There are gaps and needs in civilian training that are out there. We're creating an environment in West Virginia where we can fill that gap with a cost-effective, highly realistic, and capable training opportunity.
The Adjutant General's office is hoping to monetize the site in other ways. They are working with the West Virginia Film Office to draw Hollywood producers and other filmmakers to the tunnel's ready-made soundstage in an effort to boost the local economy.
We think that the tunnel also provides a potential venue for a movie set at some point in time, and if that would be something that would be out there on the horizon and somebody wants to pay the National Guard to film a movie or a documentary there, we'd certainly entertain that, and then we'll take that money and reinvest it back in training military members and first responders to better prepare them to do their job.
In much the same way the state has found innovative and economically beneficial ways to utilize the tunnel, government officials hope to find viable, worthwhile ways to keep West Virginia open for business through its many abandoned and forgotten resources. For the Legislature Today, I'm Rob Engel in Charleston.
John Unger represents the state's 16th senatorial district from Berkeley County. A Democrat, Unger was elected to the chamber in 1998. He serves as the minority whip, previously serving as the majority leader until 2015. Senator Unger is a pastor, leading three congregations in the Eastern Panhandle. He says he's the first senator in history to serve that many churches. Darrell Coles was elected to the House of Delegates in 2006. He represents the state's 58th House District from Morgan County. A Republican, Coles serves as the majority leader and previously served as the minority whip. Sarah Blair is a Republican from Berkeley County. She represents the 59th House of Delegates District. Delegate Blair was elected in 2014 and is the youngest serving member of the House of Delegates. Her father, Craig Blair, is a member of the West Virginia Senate.
This has been the Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia. Online at WVHTF.org. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.